The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's the cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
It does.
It does. So far, it does. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the continuing soiree of liberty that we have here at Jefferson, the Jefferson Radio Program. The Jefferson Radio Program that's known as Jefferson State of Mind. That's mine, like mine.
And yours.
And I'm here with my partner, Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Thank you.
And Liam. You awake, buddy?
I'm hanging out.
Which
coffee,
which coffee cup is this? Which number is this?
We're on number two.
Number two?
That's okay. Not bad.
Yeah, I'm usually there after coffee, too. Anyway, so we're also here with Lori and Patrick Jones. Notice I put Lori first this morning.
Good morning.
Ladies first.
Ladies first.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
Well, you know, I think this is going to be something a lot of people need to hear. We need to hear what's going on in Shasta County. And we need to know maybe what the plan is moving forward. And I know you're going to be talking about that this morning. So I'm going to let you go for it, brother, because this is exciting stuff.
Yeah, no, it is an exciting time, Terry. Thank you. And, you know, the show earlier today had Clint Curtis on talking about his programming abilities and what he did and why the machines can't be trusted. And it's really been going on for quite a long time, a couple decades. And so so what's the big deal here in Shasta County? We canceled the Dominion voting machine contract in January, and we're going to hand count. And it seems to have gotten national attention all over. In fact, I think this last couple of days I've gotten more emails than I have ever gotten before. I think over 400 or 500 emails have come in, all very excited about what's happening here in Shasta County and going to a hand count and getting rid of the machines. And, you know, some people know a lot about Dominion. Some people just don't trust any of the machines, which I would agree with. And they're just happy to see that there is a California county that has canceled the contract. And in that regard, we are the first ones in California to do so. However, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other cities and counties across the United States that hand count. So we're not the first in that regard. And in fact, there are entire countries that hand count, large countries. The largest country in population in the world hand counts in India. So these things are very doable. You're going to be hearing a lot of rhetoric, and you've heard a lot and read a lot about that it can't be done in the time that we have. We roughly have 30 days, that it's very expensive and it's riddled with errors. And I'm here telling you that that is all false. In fact, the opposite is the truth. We believe with the systems that we've seen and researched, we can count faster than what they're currently doing. We can count more securely, clearly, than what the machines are doing, and we can do it for less costs. And so I'm excited about all this, and unfortunately, our Register of Voters and our county clerk is unhappy. She is frustrated that she's moving away from machines that she's used her whole career. And so we're going to present part of that system to do the hand count on a special meeting for next Thursday at 9 a.m. at 1450 Court Street. So there'll be a special meeting called probably Monday or Tuesday. One of the issues we'll be talking about in that special meeting is the elections. And picking a particular machine just for the printing of ballots for those folks with handicaps. And that's is to satisfy all state and federal laws. Those machines only print a ballot. They still have to be either machine tabulated or hand tabulated. And in this case, we're going to hand tabulate. And so we have two opportunities to pick. I think it's Express Vote from ES&S, and then there's another machine from Hart that can be purchased. And so that will make that official on Thursday and proceed to purchase those machines. All those machines are in stock and ready to go, and so we can clearly get that aspect of what we need to do out of the way. And then we need to create a method of how we're going to hand count, how many people are involved, three people, four people, I believe it's four people, how many people we will need, the space that we will need to do this, and then present that to the Secretary of State for approving the process.
We had Clint Curtis on our podcast that we had. It's on Mountaintop Media. Also, you can find it on Facebook. If you search engine Jefferson State of Mind on Facebook, you also can search engine Special Report. It's on Rumble. We've sent out numerous emails. It's also on YouTube. But the reason I mention it is that when you get a visual of what Clint wants to do, he was showing us these counting machines. Now, that would be something, though, would have to be, wouldn't that in California have to be certified by the state of California or the Secretary of State?
Yeah, and I have seen what he came up with, and they're just a very simple machine, and it works. However, and that could eventually work for us here in California, but such a machine, because they are electronic, would have to be submitted.
Approved.
And then they would have to be approved by the Secretary of State, which they're not in they don't do it very often. In fact, they're in a super slow mode from approving this new system. So we can do what he's talking about, and in fact, Clint has mentioned there are, you know, a dozen different methods of counting that you can hand tally. And I still really like the return to hand counting in Missouri. There's a nice big dossier on that, and it moves pretty quickly. And so, you know, our county clerk, again, is going to say it takes this amount of time to count. We're going to say it doesn't take that amount of time. So you can, you know, almost with anything, you can make it go well or you can make it go poorly. And so our job, I think, for the board, you know, we're going to set the policy. It is incumbent upon the clerk to carry out the wishes of the board with
right.
regards to this information. You know, and we want to have free, fair elections, free and fair elections. We are not going to disenfranchise one single voter. In fact, we're going to solve a lot of problems that everybody's vote is going to be counted, because I believe right now across the nation that is not what's happening. That is not what's happening. And we must restore trust with the voters. I've been asking that from our county clerk for the last year with no response, no action. Finally, the board took action to do exactly what needs to be done, is to restore faith with our system. Because without that, what I was hearing was, you know, I was hearing before the last November election, people would say, the candidates would say, you know, what's the point? You know, what's the point? I mean, they're just going to cheat. So why, you know, and that's, you know, we shouldn't have that.
Well,
we shouldn't have that feeling that what's the point if they're just going to cheat.
A lot of voters feel that way.
And a lot of voters, a lot of candidates felt that way. And so something needed to be done. And every time I asked the ROV, what are you going to do? What methods, techniques are you going to use to help restore trust with the voters? I got nothing. In fact, we got a purple postcard in the mail was about what I got.
Well, right. And that goes back to why she's so defensive at all the board meetings. I mean, she's got her heels locked in on whatever mindset she has, because she hasn't been able to articulate why she wants to do what she's doing or why she is fighting what you're trying to get done.
And I want to add to that real quick. That's a great point. Clint Curtis had said that she was lying about it taking $1.6 million to do.
That's correct.
And basically said that.
Yep.
For the whole world to hear that,
and
she's lying, and
yep.
he proved it.
Yep.
The other part about that is that legally, can you make her subject to a certain time frame or
well, by law,
can she do whatever she wants?
No.
Okay.
There are a variety of laws, and she is correct. She does have to follow. And I don't think she was lying when she said 1.6. I think, you know, as a career bureaucrat that she is, you could spend that much or more if you wanted to. I see no reason why they can't.
Right. You write whatever you want.
If I give her a blank check, I'm pretty sure she'll spend the whole thing.
But
you are, and that's the key, is she's going to have the budget for it, which that is approved by the Board of Supervisors. And by law, when that election is over, the Register of Voters and the county clerk has 30 days to post every ballot.
Okay.
She has to do that by law.
Okay.
And now there is a process under the California Constitution that you can ask, I believe, a Superior Court judge for an extension if it was needed. I don't believe it's needed. I think we can do it much faster. Now, as it is right now, you don't get your final results for 3 weeks after the election with the electronic machines.
Right.
So I'm saying give us the chance. Let's create a system here. We're not going to create a system. The systems are already there. Hand counting is already done in Shasta County. It's required in every county in California. Mm-hmm. There's methods for counting. We want to do it correctly. And one of the things I also want to mention is that when they say there's a huge error ratio, that isn't true. In fact, we proved just the opposite in 2012 when Gary Cadd won a city council race by 11 votes. And so Dick Dickerson asked, he was losing that contest, and he asked to have a recount. And I believe it was 26,000 ballots. I was there for a few of the days. And you had one person from their side, one person from Gary's side, and one person from the county, three people. They flipped 26,000 pages, ballots, in about 3 days.
Wow.
And what was interesting on that is the humans, all three humans there, and you know, I don't think anybody really liked anybody in that group, right? So these are different individuals. You have a county person, you have a person over here, and a person over here. But in this particular case, all the humans, all every single ballot, they agreed on the mark that the voter had intended, and it was clear. But hundreds of times, the computer got it wrong. Mm. And so one could easily say that not only is hand count, it is more accurate than what the computers are capable of. And we proved that right here in Shasta County.
We've got a caller on the line. Jimmy, what say you?
Hey, folks, how's it going? I was just wondering, you guys are saying that it's going to cost X amount of dollars to hire people to count these votes. Can you have people just volunteer?
Yes and no. So first, everyone has to be paid under California law minimum wage. So okay. There is that. But there's also county workers, too. And so we're going to be exploring a variety of different things. Right now, as it is, county employees can come over during election day, kind of stop what they're doing with the county and come over. And so we're going to be working on some opportunities with that for election week for hand tabulation. And that again, I think, is why we can do this very quickly and securely and without a lot of costs. And so she's doing is she's giving the worst case scenario.
Yep.
And the maximum amount of people necessary. And then she's still saying she doesn't think even with that she can get it done with 30 days. So she's just being so negative on every aspect of it. And, you know, if I want to, you know, harden my house against fires, you know, there are some things I can do to absolutely do that. Or I can be I can have a wood shake roof, and I can have wood siding, and I can put wood filler around the side of the house, and just hope something bad doesn't happen, right? Or I can be proactive, and you know, so here we have a board that has made a decision. The ROV needs to carry that out. We will work with her to get that done. And I'm hoping that we can get to a level of respect, because right now it is missing, that the board should be respected, the ROV should be respected, and when the majority of the board makes a decision, it does need to be carried out. And our goal here is to restore faith with the voters and not disenfranchise one single vote and make every vote count, because I don't think that's what's been happening.
Okay, and then one more question, and I'll take my answer on the air. Now, when people do the hand counts, there's teams of two that count the votes. Now, is that to dissuade any voter or, like, counting fraud, like people going in there to, you know, hand count but not be accurate, like any sort of shenanigans?
Correct.
And what kind of safety – protocols do you guys have to, if we do the hand count, which I am totally for, what kind of protocols do you have to make sure that there is no, shenanigans going on with that? And I'll take my answer on the air. Thanks, Pat.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. So, yeah, and here in this particular case, I believe it's going to be teams of four people. And so you're going to have lots of eyes on. And, again, the humans are very good. They can easily see the mark that the voter wanted. You know, what we saw in the hand count in 2012 was that there would be a light inadvertent mark in one of the bubbles and the other bubble completely bubbled in. And for a human, that's very easy to make the decision as to who the intended vote was for. The computer has trouble with that and often rejects that or flips that. And so the reality is when you have four people in teams, you can move fairly quickly. You're going to agree on the marks. If there's any disagreement, you'll see it right there and you'll get to it.
Right.
And we didn't have in 2012 one single disagreement. There was never a disagreement on the mark that the voter intended for, not once. And that's what I expect moving forward. And, it's an exciting time because I think what we're going to do is we're going to show the country,
right,
not the world. The world already figured it out. But we're going to show the country that you do not have to use machines and have the possibility of outside interference. Right. You know, and if you go back to 2016.
Or even inside interference.
Or any interference.
Yeah.
If you go back to 2016 on a national level, and here in California, there was complaining heavily about cheating, and you heard all the Democrats from Kamala Harris on down complaining about the outside interference from Russia and that our democracy was at stake and cyber warfare is the new normal and we're spending X amount for new cyber securities and all these things. Even the California Secretary of State in 2018 said while the White House remains in denial, our democracy is under attack, and they're not admitting that the Russians attacked our democracy, and it continues today. Fast forward a couple years, and the Secretary of State says we have free and fair elections, and it's a big lie. Well, so what'd you do in those couple years to fix everything?
Yeah.
The only thing that changed was the outcome of the election is what they liked. And so you don't look at it.
Right.
And the only reason we didn't, the Republicans didn't push hard in 2016 because we liked the outcome of the election.
Exactly.
And that's the only issue there.
Right.
We do have a caller on the line. Ron, what say you?
Hi. Yeah. I was wondering, is there, I see from what I've read here lately, and I spoke to somebody once or twice, the potential of the ERIC system for that's been used and hasn't cleaned the voter rolls. And I'm seeing also in Arizona where they used a system that to verify signatures that only had about a 10% actual verification rate that is being exposed, I believe, right now. Any future look-see examination, especially of the ERIC system, which I think back east they have exposed a lot of the issues with that. I'll take my call. I'll take my answer on the air. Thanks.
All right, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
So you have some good information there. Now, we're only going to be able to solve, you know, one problem at a time, and a lot of the problems that you're talking about is at a state level, and so that's going to be difficult. The signature verification for the state of California only needs one mark to satisfy the rules, which is ink inside the box is one mark. And so we're not able, you know, so that there are definite things, but I think at the local level, they've done pretty good on signature verification. Now, on the voter rolls, California has, without question, the largest problem of anybody in the union because of the amount of people that are here, the amount of people that leave California, the amount of people that move into California, the amount of 18-year-olds that turn 18 that enter into the voting system, the amount of people that die, the amount of people that move from county to county. It's a huge number. Those voter rolls have to be going over constantly and thoroughly, and in most areas, I would say they're delinquent in those areas. And it does, we saw that as we saw canvassing, we saw things that did not add up. You know, when you see six people registered to vote at a particular resident, you might want to look at that and see if that's actually correct. It's not necessarily fraud. There could be six people registered there, but it should be looked at because it's not common. Mm-hmm. When you see a business where you have five people registered to vote, that looks unusual. It's not their mailing address, but they're registered to vote at that location or an empty lot, which we've seen that.
Yep.
We've seen all kinds of things that, again, if not addressed, you're not going to ultimately have free and fair elections. But you got to start somewhere. And
yeah,
for us in Shasta County, it's starting with the hand count, and hopefully we can deal with a lot of those other issues.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
Yeah, I think that you made such a great point. I mean, the voter rolls, a lot of people talk about that consistently. Well, let's update them, let's update them. But you just gave five great points on what happens with that. It seems like it'd be a 24-hour job, 7 days a week. And the other thing that you mentioned, we were talking the other day, and I think you mentioned that like 2,000 people turn like 18 every year in California or something.
Yeah, they had some really
every
good.
Every day or something.
Yeah,
it was
really good stats. And because the population is roughly 40 million people in California, and not saying all that is Shasta County, but in California, you have a lot of movement with people coming into the system, leaving the system in a variety of different ways, and that all has to be upgraded. I would hate to be Los Angeles County, where you have a large, millions and millions of votes, and it's a much smaller problem here in Shasta County that we should be able to deal with, and being open and transparent, showing the public, that's how you restore trust. Not being defensive or argumentative, or have a look on your face of disgust, that isn't going to work any longer. We need to restore trust with the voters. It's a serious issue, and it has to be done at every county level across the country. And I think we can do it. It'll probably be a little bumpy before it smooths out, but in the end, I believe it'll happen.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And just one last thing here really quick. I know when we were walking around canvassing during the recall, there were many, many people who were displaced from a district in the county because of the fires. Many people were here from even from Paradise, from the town of Paradise that had moved here. And it made it difficult on that. That's another issue that they have to deal with, especially on the county elections.
Well, also, too, are they going to do anything for, like, voter ID? Is that a state thing? We keep hearing all these things and different criteria to vote. I know for years when I would go to the polls, the precincts, some people would ask for ID. Others would be like their hands off. They'd be scared to even consider it. Or I would always show my ID because that's the kind of person I am. I want them to know that I did that, and I want to know that I did that. And some of them really appreciate it, but they don't dare ask. Why is that?
Well, and it seems common sense that you would show ID. We show ID just about for everything, and voting is such a sacred thing. You would think that everybody would want that.
Right.
But when we asked our county clerk and registrar of voters if she believed in voter ID, she said no. Later on, during an election, she was kind of recanting on that. But for most of us, we would
when she was running.
When she was running.
Yeah.
Asked prior, she said she doesn't believe in voter ID.
Okay.
And then during, she had a slightly different response that was not adding up to the one response before.
Okay.
Typical, mm-hmm. Election time stuff.
Yep.
The reality is, we have a variety of different issues, but you got to start somewhere.
Right.
And we believe the hand counting. Now, the other thing about hand counting, it is legal. It is legal. It does not, that system, when you're hand counting, it does not have to be approved by the Secretary of State. The method in how you hand count, that process can be reviewed by the Secretary of State and approved within a 2 to 3 week period. And it's just how you count the votes, how many team members you have, how you're doing it, what's the processes for tallying and keeping records. And so there is a process there. And there's a dozen different processes that we could use. And we already have a process for counting here in California and in Shasta County. So it won't be a difficult thing to get from A to B here.
So all she has to do is pull those old books out that they used to use for hand counting with all the required criteria.
Well, they're not,
and update it.
Yeah, they're not old books because, again, they do a 1% hand tally every, you know,
yeah,
every
so it's
election.
But for the full election, though.
And we did a hand count in 2012. That is a process that worked. Now, that was a 3-person team, and it worked, but I think this one will be a 4-person team.
Gotcha. All right.
Now, we've had the phone ring. Stones, if you want to hold on through the break, we'll take the break right now and take you after the break if you want to do that. And I believe we had another call come in, too. So we'll take the break right now, and then right after the break, we'll get to our callers. The phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Amen.
Earned by working, it ain't handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed. Politicians in the big old cities are running everything. Our way of life may be simple and it's not for everyone. It's a state of mind, it's a state of change, it's a state of Jefferson. Sing it with me one time now. State of Jefferson.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Just want to remind everybody, too, that the Shasta GOP is having a dinner here locally at Riverview Golf and Country Club, and that's going to be on April 14th, which is a Friday, and it's at 4200 Bocelli Lane, and tickets can be acquired at ShastaGOP.org, ShastaGOP.org. Go on there, and since it's a political group, you have to fill out all the information that's required for any kind of contribution to any kind of campaign or any other political leaning type venture. So just be prepared for that. But go to ShastaGOP.org, and you can get your tickets for the Republican Central Committee GOP dinner. Thank you.
Yeah, that'll be a fun dinner, and you know, they have it every year, and there'll be a general raffle and some live auction, and shoot, we'll even have some tables for some rhinos, too.
There you go.
With that, Stones, what say you, sir?
How big are the chairs for the rhinos?
You'll fit.
Right? Is that two rhinos per table?
It depends. If they're standing on their head, some of them, there isn't a chair big enough.
Got it. Hey, that Eric, E-R-I-C, organization that was mentioned. Sorry, I believe Gateway Pundit did a story on RIC, election database organization. They have ties to, it was either Gates, Soros, or Bloomberg. So, yeah, sorry. No thanks, Eric. Anyways, another thing we're looking at here in Jeff County is a citizen advisory panel over the elections office. Bureaucracies and commissions and committees, but hey, let's get rid of the Commission on Aging. Yeah, you need a commission to tell you you're getting old. Yeah, thanks. No, let's replace that with a citizen advisory panel over elections. Florida does this. Their website, they've been doing this for a while. It's a beautiful advice. It's only advisory panel. I get it. However, the Court of Public Opinion, using that advisory panel and issuing a formal advice and consult to the elections office, I think is going to be very powerful. What say you?
Yeah, it's got a good sound, but there,
I do
know that, you know, any committee, there's several of us on the board that are pretty wary of committees, and they're only as good as the people that you put on there. Now, the good news is that we have good people. If we did form such a committee, each supervisor would say appoint one from their district to be on there. So that is a possibility, and it might be discussed in the upcoming weeks.
Yeah, the only thing that I see in that is that if it's advisory, yeah, the Court of Public Opinion. So far, the Court of Public Opinion really needs to get on some of these people to do their job. We certainly had that with Modi, but, you know, it's a matter of whether they want to pay attention to us or not. You know, and this board would. You know, I believe this board would, but down the road if it makes any sense. But to me, I'm not saying it isn't a good thing with checks and balances, but with no teeth and with nothing but, well, do people agree or not agree? Well, are people paying attention or not paying attention? That's the main thing.
You know, and I really like some committees, and then I really dislike some other committees. You know, when you take a look at the current Shasta County Board of Supervisors today, they've been more bold in the last 2 months than most of the boards in the last two decades. And so it's hard to find the right people at the right time to do the right thing, to take action. And but with the right people, a lot of good things can be done. And we have a lot of good people in Shasta County, so it is a possibility.
Hey, one shameless plug, and I'll get out of here. Sportsman's Expo at the Civic until 4 p.m. There are several tables doing gun raffles, including California Rifle Pistol. So come on down, buy some raffle tickets for guns. Great event. So anyways, I appreciate you guys.
All right. Thank you, Richard.
Okay.
Back when I was a kid, the KRCR-TV sports show used to be the big deal in town at the Civic Auditorium. And I remember one time, I think it was about 1975, and I got lost in there, and they had to put my name out on the loudspeaker to find you know, somebody to come find Patrick Jones, who is lost in the Civic Auditorium. It seemed really big back when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Now it got a little bit smaller, but it was a big deal. And, you know, nowadays there's so many different events. There's an event going on every weekend. We just did a fundraiser event last night. Supervisor Kelstrom, my wife, Lori, and myself helped out with the Builders Exchange and helped them raise some money for some of the programs that they do, and this was their first event, and they did quite well, and it was at Wind River, and we really appreciate Wind River for doing everything. It sure is nice not having to set up tables and tear down tables and do all that, and the food was pretty good, and the acoustics was good. You know, that's really hard sometimes to find a building where you can actually hear something being said, and so they have a reasonably good setup there that helped the Builders Exchange become successful and be able to carry on some programs. So, yeah, they did a good job.
Well, good for them. That's awesome.
You know, I want to get back to Thursday a little bit. We do have a meeting Thursday. That's for sure?
Correct, yes. I've called for a special meeting at 9 a.m.
And the public is invited, I think.
Correct.
Okay, will there be public comment? Or
yes, so we're going to have a closed session issue and an open session issue. You'll be able to speak to all items, closed session and or open session. So. And there's, you know, besides the elections, there is the CEO. We'll have a closed session on CEO. So there's, it probably won't be a short special meeting. It's not. And usually when we have special meetings, it's to address a state of emergency one specific issue that was missed that we'd need to address. In this particular case, I believe there'll be two issues that are high profile. And so I expect a lot of public comment on that, which is good. And as board chair and as policy with the county, everyone gets 3 minutes uninterrupted. And as long as you're staying on track, the only time I will interrupt someone is if they start going off on something that is completely out of the jurisdiction of the county. If you want to talk about border security, that is not what we do down south, and I'll say, hey, you got to get onto something that's relevant to Shasta County. You want to talk about a jail, you want to talk about elections, you want those things are certainly all fair game, and we'd like to hear from you. Some people tend to be loud and rude and threatening and profane, and those things are all allowed under the law, and you being able to do that will always get 3 minutes, but probably not much more. For those people that are a little more controlled, I will allow them to go over a little bit so that they can finish their statement. Some people don't like that, but that is at the discretion of the chair, and that's how that meeting and all meetings will be run for the remainder of the year.
Okay, so then when you say the closed session, so the meeting actually starts at 9 a.m., so are you going into closed session as soon as you open the meeting? Is that what you do? From the public's perspective, so everybody understands, if they get there at 9 o'clock, they're going to sit and wait for an hour and a half before you guys come back out. What are we talking about?
Yeah. So it depends. You know, again, I can set the order of how the agenda is going to go. This last time, normally we would have closed session at the end of the meeting.
Right.
But we had a ton of stuff on the last agenda, and that meant that the CEO in closed session, if you would like to speak to that, you wouldn't be able to speak to that to about 7 o'clock or 7:30 at night. And right. So, and people complain that, you know, I want to speak to that, but I ain't going to be here at 7:30 at night.
Right.
So last time I put that one at the beginning so people could speak to that at the beginning. We don't normally do it that way, but because it was such an important issue, we did it that way. So normally, and I have not set the agenda yet for Thursday, but I would expect that, we will start at 9 a.m. at a special meeting with a particular open session item, and at the conclusion of that item, if a direction is taken or vote is taken, then we will go into closed session and have public comment before we go into closed session.
Okay, so what you're saying is that if you everything else is done first, then you will go into closed session. Can't people comment on that before you go into closed session?
Yeah.
Can't there be a special comment period for that before you
there
go
is.
In?
Yeah, but not typically. There's okay. usually not an open public comment period on special meetings because we're usually only having one or two items. And so, again, at the discretion of the chair, I could have an open meeting time where you could speak to anything. But I believe in this particular case, there's going to be two issues, and you'll be able to speak
right.
to the two issues. And again, we're going to have more meetings this year than we've had in the last decade, for sure. Both day meetings, night meetings, special meetings, and so forth. We will probably approach 40 meetings this year, which is far greater
wow.
than what we've had in the
yeah.
past.
Wonderful.
Good, good. Well, you're getting the people's business done.
Very good.
That's
yeah.
what has to happen. Okay, so...
we have a caller on the line, Wynn.
What do we... Oh, we do. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Liam, can you flash the light whenever we have a caller? Because Wynn can't see the little board from there. Thank you, buddy.
Sure.
Janet, how are you, my dear? What say you?
Good morning. I loved your bumper music song about the stage of Jefferson. I had not heard that one before. And it reminded me that according to the State of Jefferson Constitution, Article 7, Section 1, it guarantees that all elections by the people must be by secure, paper, non-computerized, secret ballot.
Yay.
So if we want to just take care of this whole election problems, let's just go with the State of Jefferson.
Amen, sister. Amen.
And that's all I have to say. Thank you to Lori and Patrick for their information, and I will see you guys later.
All right. Thank you, Janet.
Janet. First Lady of Jefferson.
She's absolutely right.
Well, and we're getting, you know, everywhere we go now, people are really thanking us. I had my own concerns about the voting and machines doing research last year and the year before. So I didn't realize that once we were able, and I really didn't know if we'd have the majority of the board to get rid of electronic machines. So put it up on there. Hoping that we could have some forward motion and get rid of these machines that did occur on a narrow 3-2 vote. So I was very pleased with that and continue to move forward. But it also reminds everyone that we need to maintain good leadership at the board because in the future, anything that we do can be undone.
That's a good point, you know, and I think that what I love is the rapid pace in which this board is moving toward things that they said they were going to get done, at least some of the people on the board. There's a couple of them that
linger. Well, it's cleaning house. You got to clean house to get things in order so you can move forward and get the people's business done. That's exactly what has to happen.
Yeah.
When I was doing a little bit of research, I called the Council on the Blind to ask them what is the best machine for particularly with people that are blind. And the attorney that I talked to for the Council with the Blind, he is a blind attorney, he mentioned a machine, AutoMark. And so I did a little I didn't know that machine. I haven't heard of that machine. So I did a little research on that machine. And that machine has been decertified by the state of California for serious errors as many as, 15 years ago. And when you really start looking at a lot of different machines, a lot of decertification for fraudulent and vote-flipping activities were found, a lot. And so you would think that would raise some eyebrows. Even this attorney was telling me that he liked a machine that has already been decertified, which shows you just how lack of information out there, even to an attorney that represents the blind. Now, today, an AutoMark was an ES&S machine. They have an improved machine today called ExpressVote, and I like that. It's you put your paper in, you mark your selections, you can review it, and it prints out your ballot. Just the way that you've marked it. And then that ballot can be hand counted. And so that appears at face value to be a pretty decent machine. They run about $3,600, so they're not terribly expensive. Mm-hmm. And it does satisfy all state and federal laws with regards to those of handicap.
And you would have to have one at each polling place.
Polling location.
And how many locations do we have now?
We have 58, so that means you're probably going to need about 70 of the machines. So it's about a $250,000 cost, but that's a purchase. And if you look at that over 10 years, that's only around $25,000 a year.
That's reasonable.
So it's not outlandish. Now, in the future, another topic will come up, not this year, but I believe we should have a discussion about voting centers, which there would be 10 voting centers and not have 58 locations that you have to secure and have security issues, but at 10 locations that the public can go to and properly vote. More security, centrally located, and so that's going to come at a later date.
Okay.
We do have a caller on the line. Siskiyou Steve, what say you?
Yeah, Patrick, thanks for being on the show this morning and you guys having your show. You guys are just bringing out information every week. Thank you. Supervisor Patrick, you mentioned that the state has to approve any kind of voting thing that you came up with in your county. And, you know, the state being China-fornia versus California anymore, it's so corrupt. How can we, why does the county, which the counties own the state, why does the county, I understand what you're probably going to say, but, you know, we have to change that. The counties have to take the power back from the state. And how do we, you know, we've got to do that. It's not how we're going to do it. We've got to do it. Especially in our case, because California is so corrupt, we have to audit Pelosi and Newsom. We've got to audit them and find out where their money's coming from. We'll find out it's China, obviously. But do you need permission from the state to okay any kind of voting procedure you come up with? Because I'm going to bring this up to our county clerk here, which I can get to her through the county clerk who's now on our city council, and I have her ear pretty good, so I'm going to have her listen to the previous program this morning and now your program. But I need to know that the county does not have to have the state approval for whatever we come up with in our county for voting.
So here's what I do know. So hand counting is legal, and that it does not have to be certified by the Secretary of State. Hand counting, you can do. The process that how you do it needs to be reviewed and approved by the Secretary of State under code. And so that is a California code, that the process. Now, the Deputy Secretary of State has been to Shasta County many times, and she says that approval takes 2 to 3 weeks, and they would expedite it as quickly as possible. So we're not talking 9 months or a year, but there is a government code that says if you have a process for voting, that does need the approval by the Secretary of State. I find the Deputy Secretary of State easy to work with. I think she understands what we want to do here in California, here in Shasta County. And, you know, so I believe as long, you know, we want to follow all the rules that they have. We do not want to disenfranchise any voters. We can do that. We're going to return to hand counting in a process that's open and transparent. Can we fix the sending out ballots 29 days in advance? No, we can't fix that. That's a state law, and we can't fix that. So there are certain things that we can do and certain things that we can't. We're simply starting the conversation, starting the process to hand count. We're going to successfully be able to do that on special elections and even the large presidential elections, and so we'll be able to do that. But yes, if you want to make a change in your voting procedures, the Secretary of State will need to approve the procedures in which you do that. That's what I know.
Okay. Thank you very much, Patrick.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Uh-huh. It's a big difference between having a voting system and having to have a voting system approved by the Secretary of State. That will take a minimum of 9 months, if not longer. For example, there is open source style machines, and they have not any of those have gotten approval yet by the Secretary of State. They've been at it for years and years and no approval. But a simple process that describes how you're going to hand count, that's a fairly short process, which is something very doable.
Well, that's a no-brainer then, just do the hand count.
I mean, agree.
You're talking about the process versus the machine.
Absolutely.
Okay. That makes it all the more reason to do it.
What was interesting at the boardroom, and I did see the frustration myself and anger and, I mean, words like obstinate. And, you know, people were saying this to me and couldn't figure out why, you know, Kathy Darlene Allen was so upset with all this. What I'd love to see is they keep talking about drawing everybody together. Let's work as a team. Here's her opportunity. And I know, you know, maybe she doesn't want to do it. She's used to her system. I get that. I understand that. But this is a chance for her to show something and prove what a good clerk that she really can be. And, you know, hey, she could come up with the Allen system. And shoot, the county would fire all over the nation, and she could be introducing her method to other people. So, I mean, I would hope that she steps back for a minute and shakes off some of that anger. And I see a lot of yelling, unfortunately. And when people are yelling, you don't hear each other. You don't hear only what you're saying. And we're not having true, just, down-to-earth conversations as human being to human being. I'm not saying Republican to Democrat. I'm just saying human to human. Let's forget, don't even put a label on anybody. Just talk to them as a person. Let's do common sense. We can agree to disagree, but here's an opportunity for her to really, really shine, and I just keep praying for her that she'll see that and want to step forward and make it work for the county. Give it a try.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amen to all of that. You're right.
You know, on a separate issue, the ballot itself, all of our ballots are printed in Arizona and then shipped to us, you know, and so.
Oh,
Are they printed in Maricopa County?
Well, I don't know, but I just know that they're printed by a large company, and the price isn't that bad. But again, in the future, I would like to take a look at printing them in county as opposed to out of state.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
For the next election cycle or two, we will probably continue with the same system. But we just have to tackle one thing at a time.
Right.
We're going to get there. Again, it's little things that restore the faith in the voters. If the voters knew that their ballot itself was printed in Arizona and shipped into California, and that we couldn't print it here in California. We couldn't print it in Shasta County.
Yeah,
That's not helping either.
No.
You know, that's not something that's ideal. Is it cheaper from this large company? Possibly, but let's take a look at it.
Right.
Let's see if we can get it certified to be done here. If the price is minimally different, let's keep that work in Reading.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, and Liam, you had something you wanted
to say? Yeah, so, I mean, okay, first off, there's like 2.5 minutes, so we need to be quick. You know, so there's a lot of conversation about Dominion and how it's an electronic system. Why hasn't there been conversation about changing to, like, an analog voting machine?
Well, the reason why is because you're not going to get very far with the Secretary of State. Any of those changes are going to have to be approved.
Yeah.
And if you look over the whole country, you're going to see ES&S and Dominion as your monster companies. Mm-hmm. And corporate ownership of the elections is what has occurred. They don't want non-proprietary systems and open source programming. They don't want it. And it's why we were forced to cut that umbilical cord and say we're going to hand count because we can't trust any of these other processes. And the secretaries of states all over the nation have been doing similar things. And it's disenfranchising voters. And we have a chance. All eyes are on Shasta County. We have a chance. It's a great, exciting time to show that we are going to restore faith in our elections process.
You know, what's interesting about that, Patrick, is that every time we do something here in Shasta County, something seems to go through the legislature or something to contradict or combat what we have done. So if we're not making any impact, then why are they having to Right. Try to put these laws into play.
Yeah, why are we getting all the attention?
We've seen it with the wind turbines. We've seen it with recalls. Yep. And yep. I'm certain they are watching us right now, and we'll try to throw up some more walls. But we'll keep pushing on. We're elected to serve the people of Shasta County. This board is a great board. We're moving forward. And
then why aren't our representatives out there protecting us?
Yeah, it's been kind of quiet on the assembly state level.
A little bit
quiet there. And it's time to be bold.
Maybe you can ask the delis that at your dinner.
Maybe.
Just saying.
I'll set a special place setting for them.
With the coffee you made?
Cowboy coffee.
Quite possible. It's very good.
Well, with that, we've come to the end of another program. Lori, Patrick, thank you so much for being on.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And happy Easter, everybody. He is risen indeed.
Amen.
Indeed. Thank you.
Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it.
Amen.
We had no say. You don't serve us. You serve L.A. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.